Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Penguins with a pretty quiet draft, as in no major trades or anything like that by Ron Hextall. That's something we all have to get used to. Tristan Bros. I don't want to say Bros. That doesn't sound right. Bros. Tristan Bros. Their first pick. Second round, of course. Pick 58 overall. More fan headlines, 93.7thefan.com. Coming up later on at 3 o'clock, one Pittsburgh Steeler wearing an interesting accessory at practice. We're going to talk about that and get more on it from Ray Fittipaldo at 3:25. That's What's on Tap. Brought to you by the Miller Lite Patio Tour, featuring the crafty Jackalope in Bridgeville. Right now, though, we go out to the hotline to bring in maybe this show's personal ray of sunshine. A man for whom there's never been a bad day, for whom the glass is not just half full, but overflowing. Rob Rossi of The Athletic to talk some Penguins. Hi, Rob.
I am the U.S. men's basketball team to your guys, Greg Popovich. What can I say?
I like that one. Were you surprised? What was your reaction to the way Ron Hextall handled his draft for the Penguins? Not in the Jim Rutherford mold of trying to make trades and go all over the place. It was, here's our picks, and that's that.
No, I saw an astute scribe opine that somewhere, and I think that's a good observation. You have to this is going to be different. We're not going to hear a lot about this stuff ahead of time. There's not going to be a lot of telegraphing of the moves, at least early on. I think that may change, just because there hasn't really been a whole lot of opportunity for this hockey operations staff to work together. And I think Ron has been pretty forthcoming about generally what he likes to do. But I think the days of sort of, the GM coming out and saying, I like said player, and draw your own conclusions about said player, and we all know who the said player is, wink, wink, I think those are gone. And I also think, as based off what I have heard about what went on this Friday, Saturday, at the draft, he's not just going to deal somebody to deal somebody and take a deal that he thinks might be less value. And by that, I mean, I know we had conversations with teams about both Marcus Pettersson and Jason Zucker, but, he didn't feel the right deal was there. And, I know there's a school of thought of just dump the player and get the cap. Well, he's already done that once. I think now he's looking to make some hockey trades, and it'll be interesting to see how the market plays, to see if he can make those hockey trades to also allow him to do some of the things that I think he would like to do in terms of maybe target some guys on the free agent market. But if he can't, I don't think he's going to get into, I'm doing something just to do something. I think maybe that was the case with the previous regime in the final couple of seasons.
Rob, do you think that Frank Saravelli's a competent journalist?
Yes, very much so. Why?
So do I, because I'm reading an article from him that just came out in the last hour about the goaltending market right now, both in free agency and trades, and he names about 15 teams, and the Penguins didn't come up once. Is that an oversight on his part?
No. I think that, the Penguins would like to upgrade in goal. Whether they're going to be able to, I think, is an open question. Are they going to be able to deal Tristan Jarry?
No.
I don't believe so. And if they can't, then what are their options? And would it be better to see this market play out and try to maybe strike during the regular season? I think that's all being discussions. I haven't read what Frank wrote. I will tell you that they want to upgrade in goal, but whether they're going to be able to upgrade right now the way they want to depends on some other things happening. And I just don't know if they're going to be able to get those other things done. I think, as I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, there's going to be some pain here. And some of the pain might be not being able to do what you want to do when you want to do it because of what you're saddled with.
Rob Rossi, The Athletic, talking some Penguins with us here. Free agency in the NHL opens on Wednesday. Signing period begins at 11 a.m. If you had to rank the three things right off the top of your head, Rob, that the Penguins are most looking to do in free agency, if they could make their wish list, hypothetically, what would it look like to you?
I think they would primarily, the top of that list would be get shore up their goaltending situation, either by adding a legitimate number one or figuring out a way to find some sort of tandem with Jari that they would feel comfortable with, but with that being said, possibly still be able to move on from Jari during the season. So I think that's one. I think number two, they would really like to be able to move one of their two left side defensemen, Pedersen or Mike Matheson. They feel like they have a logjam there. They'd like to be able to make a hockey trade with that. I know that's not a free agent move, but I think that would lead them to number three, which would be adding some harder to play against players at forward, either for the bottom six or possibly adding those players and bringing in a guy that could maybe fit with the top six better than they think Zucker could once Malkin and Crosby are healthy.
Rob, why are people like the Elliott Friedmans of the world linking the Penguins to Brandon Saad? Is it because he's from here?
I think the market for Brandon, based off what I've heard, is an unknown right now. I think there is a school of thought out there, I don't believe this is coming from Brandon's camp, that perhaps Brandon would be willing to, based off what he might get on the open market, take less to come home to Pittsburgh. He's made a good bit of money, and then he might see an opportunity here. But I think the Penguins would look at him, but and I know that, you know, certainly on the business side, that would be a good thing for them from their standpoint of generating interest, selling tickets, local hockey, whatnot. But I think a lot of that is based off of it doesn't seem as though the market for Saad's going to be there. And if it isn't, would he try to sort of put himself in a situation where he could come home as opposed to go somewhere where, you know, he probably wouldn't want to be for the same amount of money?
Rob, I know I hate putting you on the spot in this way because
no,
I know
you, don't, you love doing that to him.
You're right. I was just trying to like fake him out here. I love putting you on the spot, Rob, because you're always a good sport about it, even though today is Mick Jagger's 78th birthday, so I feel like it's a holiday for you and I should be treating you nicer than this. You say they want to get guys who are harder to play against, either bottom six or maybe top six. Are there players who are out there right now who you think might be in their price range that fit the mold based on what you hear Burke and Hextall talk about that would really be sort of ideal fits for what they want the Penguins to look like in that respect?
No. And by that, I mean the key to that being their price range. First of all, the types of players they're talking about aren't as readily available on the trade market as the Penguins would prefer. And when you look at the free agent class, there's not that group that I believe right now they would feel comfortable overpaying for. So I think if they're going to acquire a player such that brings those type of elements, you would probably be looking at some sort of trade that would involve a current roster player and a guy that they might identify at a lower value right now on the team he's with. I can't give you names because they've been really good about keeping things quiet, but from what I've heard, the players we're talking about are not guys that they feel comfortable spending free agent money on.
Rob, someone whose opinion I trust, not as much as yours, but very close, because you are the authority on all things Penguins and are compensated appropriately for it. Someone whose opinion I trust a lot on this.
By whom?
What's that?
By whom am I compensated appropriately for it?
By The Athletic.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes. Someone whose opinion I trust almost as much as yours swears by the idea that Zach Parise is going to sign with the Penguins on Wednesday because of the Burke factor and the Sidney Crosby factor, and he's going to take peanuts to play here. You put any stock in that?
I mean, I guess never say never, but I think that, let me say this. I think the Sidney Crosby, Zach Parise thing's always been really overblown. They get along. I wouldn't say they're best friends. I'd also say, where does Zach fit? Now, if they can move Jason Zucker and get that contract off their books and get a peanuts deal for Zach Parise, I think the Penguins would probably be interested in that on a short-term deal because it would free up cap space for them going forward. And I don't know that it would necessarily be that much of a downgrade if Parise can stay healthy. His numbers actually, when I had a chance to look into them, were better last season than I thought they were, to be quite frank. But, I mean, that depends on whether Zach really wants to take peanuts. And my understanding from the little communication I've had with people in the know from the Zach camp is that he feels there's a good payday out there somewhere. So, again, I think a lot of this, whether you're talking about a Parise or a Saad, is do the Penguins still have that cachet to get guys to sort of take much less than they're worth to come here? Because that's what it's going to take now more than ever, given the cap situation. I don't think it would be a bad fit. Parise is I think Suter was the guy that in Minnesota they wanted to get rid of because of personality. I think with Parise, they just felt they were worried he was going to retire after this season and stick them with a really bad cap number when he did that to get nothing in return.
Rob, I want to leave you with this one because you've already talked about how, like, a la Dusty Rhodes, there's going to be hard times in some ways for the Penguins, at least in terms of what people are used to them trying to do. They're not going to be going out spending, you know, big free agent money or, you know, executing blockbuster trades, it looks like. Sidney Crosby's still the constant around, you know, for around whom all of this pivots. He's still got 4 years left on the deal. How does he feel about the fact that they are going to have to fundamentally change the way they do business for a little while here based on how they've done it, say, the previous 10 years or so?
You know, I that's a really good question. I haven't posed that exact question to Sid. I will tell you that, you know, the last time I talked to Sidney, the thing he talks about most is wanting to win and wanting to have the type of team that can contend for the Stanley Cup. And I think he's willing to give this regime a chance this season to see what they do because he knows the results haven't been there. I think if you know, you put sort of a weapon to Sidney's head, the thing he'd really want is to see them sign Malkin and Letang to extensions that would go the rest of his contract here in Pittsburgh.
Well, Hextall really said those were back burner things, which shocked me that he said it that way.
Well, I think they're back burner for the standpoint of they've got some other things they need to do, and if they have to put those conversations, especially with Letang, off until, say, mid-August, they'd be willing to do that. When he says back burner, I don't think that means they're not important. It just means they've got a limited time to try to do some of these things now. But I think after that, I think Sid wants to build a team that can win, and as much as I think he's liked these rosters and liked the guys on his team, I think he also knows that, you know, there's various reasons they haven't gone further in the playoffs. I think he puts a lot of pressure on him. I mean, I know he puts a lot of pressure on himself about his performance, but I will tell you, Sidney's very aware of the way the league is going and the way the Penguins are built. And he, at this point in his career, is much more interested in what they can do to put a team around him. Not that he always hasn't been, but the other stuff, the individual stuff, how he'll produce offense, he doesn't care about that stuff anymore. He's pretty comfortable with where his position is in terms of hockey history. He knows, and I think Malkin and Letang know this too. well, I don't want to speak for Chris, but I can speak for Evgeny because I've talked to him about this. He and Sidney are on the same page. They view it as they will be judged now by whether they can win a fourth championship more than anything else.
Rob Rossi of The Athletic, we always appreciate it, Rob. Thanks for the insights, man.
Thank you, Rob.
Go listen to some Stones, fellas.
It is Mick Jagger's 78th birthday. That's why Rob is in a celebratory mood
is
today.
Is Keith Richards still alive?
Somehow. I don't know how, but yes. Against probably all odds. You were putting that one in at the old sports book years ago. You'd have paid out handsomely right now on Keith Richards.
I'd listen to an interview with his doctor.
There probably even isn't, he probably doesn't even have one. He went to a doctor. He said, yeah, it's weird. You have a pulse, but everything else suggests that you shouldn't. Just go home. I don't want to interview the doctor so much as the nutritionist, the trainer, whoever or the person providing him with his drugs, frankly.
Yes.
Because whoever's doing all those jobs is doing bang up work. It is 2:46. Time to call Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. Why pay 40% when you can pay 25%? Call 888-98-TWINS. Coming up, another viral tweet from a man who seems to only create them. And no, I'm not talking about Andrew Filippone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.